look over in the book of Mark, in chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us the health and the ability to be here tonight. And Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, for the privilege of gathering around your book, Lord. Lord, the focus is not on the man, but Lord, it's on your word and it's on the master. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd open our ears, Lord, and help us to understand it. Lord, let us leave this place tonight, Lord, understanding the Word of God better. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd give us preaching grace, teaching grace, however, Lord, you let this come out. I pray, God, that you'd help us. You know my needs. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. And Mark chapter number 15, we see here that the Lord has just died on Calvary, and He is there, and there are just a few around the cross. It's a hostile time. You've got several that's just said, crucify Him, hundreds. It's went before Pilate, and they've convinced Pilate to crucify Him. And I can see there's a disciples have already fled, all but John, the Bible says. And sort of let's put ourselves in this atmosphere tonight in this passage, and let's see exactly what's going on. And let's read this scripture together. I've preached this message before, and I hope I ain't preached it here. But if I have, evidently you need it twice. That's what the Lord's got on my heart anyway. So let's look here in verse number 42. The Bible says this, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now, the Lord's there hanging on the cross between two thieves. And here's just a select few gathered around the cross. A few women and John, maybe Joseph of Arimathea, maybe Nicodemus were there, just a few. Select ones are here, and they're gazing up at the cross as the Lord's head is drooped down. And there's two thieves that's dead beside Him on the cross. They're there, and Joseph of Arimathea, verse number 43, the Bible says, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's something worth waiting on. Amen. But he says this, he came and he went in boldly unto Pilate. Now, picture this now. All the disciples, even Simon Peter, the boldest of the bold, he had some guts. He had some gall about him. But he's done run off and he's scared, slapped to death. But the Bible says here that Joseph, he went in boldly unto Pilate. Now, Pilate's not a Jew. Pilate is the Roman governor. He is large and in charge. He could have snapped his fingers and said, you're one of them followers too? Take him away. Crucify him. He could have done it just in very little more than just a thought. But he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled. If he were already dead, calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he'd been dead, been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Now this is not your body, it's not my body, it's not just any body. This is the literal flesh and bones of Christ Himself, the Son of God, God Himself manifest in the flesh. This is His body. It just ain't anybody's body now. He gave the body to Joseph. And watch verse 46. And he bought fine linen. And he took him down. A good message to preach out of there would be what you're going to do with the body of Christ. But he bought fine linen. And he took him down. And he wrapped him in the linen. I can just see him as he takes him. He loves him so much. And he's taking that linen and folding. Maybe tears is running down his cheeks. He hadn't give up on him. And the Bible says he laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And I want to preach on this thought tonight on a burden for the body of Christ. A burden for the body of Christ. And I'm convinced in the time that we live in, what's missing in our lives, truth be said, I'm going to preach to myself tonight. If it hits you, you can say amen. I'll say oh me. But what's missing today in our lives is we've lost our burden for the body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 that He set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. What's He talking about? He set you, if you're born again, if you're blood washed, if you're saved tonight and know you're going to heaven, if you're saved tonight, He has put you in His body. He's the head of the body. But you and I tonight that saved, we are the body of Christ. And you know what? We've lost our love for the body. He said in another place, He said, if you give a cup of water, if you give a drink of water in My name to one of these, you've done it unto Me. So you and I are the body. We see that tonight. You and I, me and you are the body of Christ. And I feel like maybe we've lost our love. We've lost our desire, our craving, as Joseph had here, the crave for that body. He just couldn't do without it. He couldn't, just as others was walking away weeping, as others was going away mocking, he couldn't leave this place here without taking that body with him. Wouldn't it be a blessing tonight? Wouldn't it be an awesome blessing tonight if everybody in the house, I wonder what kind of church we'd have if we had 15 or if we had 20 people that craved and really desired the body of Christ. I'm talking about, as you look around in here, you know, I'm Jamie, you're so-and-so, we got all these, you look across, you got all these people in here, and that's who we are in this fleshly sense, but as I look across one more time in this building in a spiritual sense, you're Christ, and shame on me if I don't crave the body of Christ, shame on me if I don't love the body of Christ, if I don't caress the body of Christ and love Him and want to nourish Him, amen. If you've done it unto one of these, you've done it also unto me. First of all, let's look at His boldness here. His boldness there in verse number 43. He craved the body. He went to Pilate there. It says he went in boldly unto Pilate and he craved the body of Jesus. You know what? He wanted to be a part of it. Ain't you glad tonight? Ain't you glad tonight that you're a part of the body of Christ? I don't deserve to be a part. Listen, you think you know me, but you don't know me. But I am a part of the body. I don't know a whole lot, but I do know I'm saved tonight. And I do know I'm born again. I've got something real down on the inside of me. And I'm so grateful tonight. I'm so blessed tonight just to be a part of this thing. Hey, put me in the back. Put me on the hind. Listen, but I'm glad tonight that I'm a part of something way bigger than what I am.
Hallelujah. Ain't you glad tonight that you're a part of the blood-washed throne? Ain't you glad tonight that one of these days the body's going to be assembled in glory and we're going home? Hallelujah. All because of the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Hallelujah. But He wanted to be a part of this thing. He wanted to be a part of it. Thank God I'm a part of it. Boy, you can go all the way. There's rabbits running, amen. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And there, way before there was ever a stream, or a river, or an ocean, or an earth, or a heaven, or an atmosphere, anything, God looked down and He saw you and He saw me, and He loved us, and He loved us so much He gave His own life for us. What a blessing. Ain't you glad that even though He knew you, He still wanted you? Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. But I notice here, He wanted to be a part of it. I think about over in that tabernacle. I love the tabernacle. I'm trying to move it. But that tabernacle over there. You know we in that tabernacle? Over in the book of Exodus, about chapter number 25, around in there somewhere. As they did that tabernacle, you go inside in such splendor, you've got all the coverings, but as you go in, you've got a 45 foot long, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall building inside of this fence. And you go inside of this, and it's specific. I believe it's about 54 boards that was cut out of acacia wood. About a foot and a half wide, had two tendons on the bottom of them. And that wood there is something special. That wood there, listen to me, that wood is something that'll rot if it's left out. But you know what's special about that wood there in that Exodus story there is that they wrapped it in gold. That gold is the metal of, amen, it's the metal of deity. And listen, it's set in the sockets of silver, 108 sockets of silver they'd sit down in, and they were here on earth. But listen to me, they were separated from the earth by the metal of, amen, ain't you glad tonight that He's got us wrapped up, and He's got us cleansed, and He's got us washed, and when the high priest would go in, and His God would hover over that holy of holies, He would come across that mercy seat, and He would not see you and me, but He would see the gold on the boards. I'm glad tonight that He don't see me. I'm glad that He sees His darling Son of God. And every time that He looks down and He looks at me, He sees this passage. He sees His darling Son hanging on the cross and dying and ripped to shreds in His body. Boy, ain't you glad tonight that your sins has been taken care of. Hallelujah. He wanted to be a part of it. But I noticed He also wanted to be around it. Ain't it amazing? Tonight, how many people, and I understand these people that would love to be here. Brother Conrad, I sure was hoping he'd come in tonight, to be honest with you. I'm filling in for him tonight. I was hoping he, you know, but there's a lot of folks that just ain't interested in this. I'm talking about, there's a lot of folks that's disciples. I ain't talking about lost folks. Lost folks don't care nothing about this, no way. But there's a lot of Christians. I'm talking about saved people that just really don't care about church. They don't care. And when I say about the church, I'm not talking about all this sheetrock and wood and metal around here. I'm talking about, listen, when we come to church, we don't come in here to see the lights and see the carpet and all this. We come in here to see one another, which is the body of Christ. And we come in here to edify one another. And we come in here to lift up the head of the body, which is Christ. But there's a lot of folks that just don't care about this. Why is that? From time to time, I have to work. But you know what? Even though I guess that's a legitimate reason, I'm miserable when I can't be here. Why is that? He wanted to be around this body. He wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to be around it. Everybody else is running away. These other people, these disciples, 11 of them run away, 10 of them run away. John standing by the cross with about five ladies. But everybody else has vanished. Why is that? Why is it today that the only thing that really matters, the only thing that can help you, I listened to Brother Doyle as he said in the prayer room the other night. He said, I don't see how folks makes it without the Lord. And that's the absolute truth. Now, there are times in my life that I get to where, you know, I get nonchalant and I don't care about things. But you know what? There are times when hard times, things come up and I need God and I know where to go to get Him. And what a blessing it is that He's there every time you need Him. What a blessing. I don't deserve that. But where is everybody at? Why is that? I'll just be honest with you, I don't have the answer. But why ain't everybody interested in being around this? Sure, it ain't going to be a hanging off a chandelier meeting every time we come in here. But it's not always about that. It's about being together and unifying together, coming together and serving God and worshiping Him. That's what it's about. He wanted to be in craving. He wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to be around it. But he wanted to be associated with it. He wanted to be associated with it. You know what? He didn't care who knew it. Boldly. What an amazing story. Everybody else is scared literally for their lives. And I can't say that I wouldn't be the same way. But here comes a man that walks right into the Roman hall, and he goes in there to the governor face to face and looks him in the eye and says, I want Jesus. Anybody went up to some of your co-workers lately and said, just give me Jesus? When they're handing out raises, when they're handing out this or that, when they're giving this away down here or wherever, how many of you ever said, I just have, just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Joseph had everything. He was a rich man. He was a ruler. He was a counselor. He was well to do. But he said, one thing that I need, I want Jesus is what I want. And I don't care who knows it. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we was like Paul and we'd pray? I'm a weakling, but I know what to pray. Paul prayed for boldness. Ask God to give you some spiritual guts. Ask Him to give you some spiritual boldness. He craved the body. But also, I notice not only did he crave the body, but we see his boldness, but we also see his believing. We see how he contributed to the body. He contributed. Verse 46, the Bible says, he bought fine linen. I don't believe it was just some old rags that he got on sale. But I believe he had this in mind. I don't know when he bought it. I don't know if he hung there for a little while and the Lord told him, go out there and get some fine linen, but he may have already had it. But he spent his money on the best for the Lord. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? He bought fine linen and took him down. He contributed to this body. He contributed him. Hey, first of all, he contributed personally. Now, get this picture in your head. We're about done. I ain't got but 3 points. Ain't you glad? He contributed personally. The Bible don't say that nobody helped him. Now, here is Christ hanging on this cross. And somehow or another with a ladder. I don't know if he took the cross down. I don't know. But the Bible says he took him down. So I'm saying the cross is still up there. And he climbed up maybe a ladder and took the nails out of one hand. And let that dangle. Took the nail out of the other hand. And then laid him over his shoulder and he pulled out of his feet. And what a man! What kind of love was that? That he would reach up there and take a bloody man down. And
lay him over his shoulder. That's mighty personal.
Yes, sir.
That's mighty personal. Boy, to lay that, can you see him? Everybody, can you listen now? There's possibly hundreds here mocking him. There's possibly hundreds of people that's walking by. They've already said, if you'll read back up in this same chapter here, that there's many that went by and wagging their heads and mocking him, saying, if he's the Christ, tell him to get out off that cross and save himself, save us, and we'll believe him then. So I know when he died, they're still there, they're looking on, and he got him down, and they're mocking him. Can you see that? Can you hear what profanity is probably coming out of their mouth? Can you hear what slanderous things is probably coming out of their mouth as Joseph is going up that cross and he's reaching up and tearing the hands off and laying that bloody blood field all over his shoulder and taking him down? Can you see that tonight? He had a personal contribution. But he also, not only did he contribute personally, but he contributed financially there. We've seen he bought. I wonder what exactly, really. And I believe, I don't know, but I believe this church gives good. And I ain't preaching on giving, that ain't my place. But I preach to you on an individual way. When's the last time you give the Lord your best? The Lord owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills and the hills their own. And as one old preacher said, he owns the taters under the hill. So the Lord don't really need your money. He don't need your money. Listen, I'm telling you, he can save a millionaire, a multimillionaire, and come in here and do whatever he wants to. God can do anything. He don't really need your money. It's a blessing for you to be able to contribute to the body. I'm telling you like it is. I know. It's a blessing whenever them plates come around. It's a blessing, amen? You could be giving your money to the dope man. You could be giving your money to the beer joint. You could be giving your money to outside things in this world. But God has allowed you to give a small portion of what you have to the Lord. That's a blessing. And the thing is, when you do that, he blesses you more in return. You can't outgive God. He bought fine linen. Bought it. He contributed personally. He contributed financially. But he also contributed willingly. Willingly. Didn't nobody have to go up and say, John didn't go over and say, hey, Joseph, my back's hurting today. You mind getting him down? We need to do something with him, bury him somewhere. No. But it was in his heart.
Yes.
Think about that just for a minute. And you know what? It'd probably convict every one of us in the house tonight. What's in our heart? What's the feeling in our heart for this body? Are you willing to sacrifice for it? You know, when you first got saved, or maybe when things was on the downhill, on the roller coaster, and you're just hollering and everything was wonderful, you had that zeal about you, had that joy about you. Boy, I remember a time when folks would get here early, and boy, they just chomping at the bits. And not just here, but I'm speaking in general of the body, the church. Where'd that go? You know what'll help you tonight? What'll help you forget this world? I've never seen a time where people are so stressed as they are today. It's unbelievable. The stress that's on people. But you know what? It's the refuge place. It's a place to me to take a break. It's a place for me that I can leave all this malarkey, whatever that is. I've overheard that word in my life. You can leave it on the outside. All the emails, all the numbers, leave all that junk out there and sit down with the family of God. Ain't that a blessing? What a blessing. What a blessing. Just to get to come in. And He was willing. He was willing to do this. I wonder if we're willing to sacrifice a little bit. If we're willing to go a little farther for Him. Let's look on now. Not only did He crave the body, we see His boldness. He contributed to the body. We see His believing. But lastly, He carried the body in His burden. He carried His body. Carried His body. It says in verse 45, He gave the body to Joseph. He gave it to you. You know what? You can put your name right there where Joseph is. Your brothers and sisters in here are a gift from God. He's give these people in here to you. It's not just something that we come here, we just, you know, it's something to do on Wednesday night, something to do on Sunday. This is just it's not just a social thing. God has assembled this thing, and He has placed you here, and He has given you these people and the others that would like to be. He's given you these people as a gift to help you to make it through this life. What would it be like? And we are, listen, trouble has either been at your house or it's coming to your house. And I ain't talking about a stump toe. I'm talking about real, genuine, tear-jerking, weeping trouble. And it sure is a blessing when somebody that ain't getting slung in the ringer of this life, when somebody ain't in the deepest well like you are in this life, when somebody comes and they wrap their arms around you and say, I love you and I'm praying for you, and they'll get in touch with God when you can't. My wife wrote a song that carried me to the throne. It says, I'm wounded again. You know what? Oftentimes we get wounded. We get battle scars. We're in this stinking world. And that's a sad thing. We're here for a little while, but I'm glad that you and I can pull together. And when you're down, I can pray for you. When I'm down, you can pray for me. And God, for all these, I'm glad that we are together in this thing. What a blessing. He carried this body. Now watch this now closely. Hang in there. We're about done. He carried this body. Bought fine linen. Took it down. Wrapped it in linen. Laid Him in the sepulchre. He carried Him out there. It was hewn out of a rock. Rolled a stone over the door of the sepulchre. So He got Him down. Probably throwed Him over His shoulder. I don't know how He carried Him, but He carried Him. Ain't too many folks ever carried the body of Christ. You ever thought of that? Wonder if we'd be willing to carry the body. Maybe you gotta have discernment. You gotta look around. You gotta see. You gotta and don't be prying and nosy. Anybody wants you nosing in their business. But if you'll listen, the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Am I right about it? And He'll say, Brother Ken is a little down this week. You ought to carry His name before the throne. Yes. He'll say, Miss Peggy has got cancer. You ought to pray for her. Right. And you see, that's the way it works. That's the way it functions. But He carried this body. Now watch it. This is a, get this in your head. This is a lifeless body. This body is limp. It's lifeless. The blood's out of it. He gave up the ghost. It's gone. This body is dead. Now watch this. Even though he carried this body, even though it seemed to have no victory. Have you ever looked and heard this world say that the body, the church, is declining? Looks, it don't look like a church has got any hope with all the crazy mess that's going on the outside. It don't look like there's no hope for the church. But I got news for you, there is hope. And it seemed like to everybody else, all the passerby, all the ones that looked on, it looked like that body had no victory. Why in the world is that man caressing that body and wrapping that body and caring so gently for that body, but he took the body? Why is it, even though it looks like it has no victory? It had no vitality. Have you ever seen a time when the church looked like it was dead? You ever seen a time where it looked like God wouldn't just, He wouldn't, nowhere within that service, He wasn't moving? You ever seen a time like that? Are you still willing to carry it? Are you still willing to? Listen, every service ain't going to be like that. I pastored for a little while, and those times when I was excited, had a message, wanted to get it, couldn't wait to get in there and preach. I mean, just a bubbling over, get in the church house, and it was literally as dead as 4 a.m, like everybody was asleep. Everybody was somewhere else besides where I was at. I'm talking about dead. And preachers do that a lot. And song leaders see that a lot. But listen to me. They still carry on. They still preach, even though it seems to have no vitality. Seems like it, as the passersby looked on this body, seemed like it had no vision. Seemed like it had no sort of scatterbrain. Looked like it just going haphazard. It's amazing all the different, I want to be careful, but it's amazing all the different denominations that's come about in the last, all the variations of denominations and all the variations of Scripture. It's confusion, and we know who's the author of confusion. You know what? I don't see how in the world, I'd hate to have to preach out of one of them funny Bibles. I mean, I'm just being as honest as I can. I don't know how you do it. I'm trying to get away from this vocabulary of this world, and I can't get in there. I've tried to read some of it. It don't make no sense to me. It seems like I'm reading off of my phone, the New York Times or something. It just don't make a lot of sense. But I can get in this old Bible, and I can see that it has a path, and it has a direction that it's headed. And that's the way that I want to go. But there's times, listen, when everybody looks on and say, listen, it ain't got no vision. We need to still carry it. And then, lastly here, as people passed by and saw him with this body over his shoulder, literally a bloody mess, and tears maybe running down his eyes, linen that he's wrapped him in is already soaked in blood. He's carrying him. Wonder how many says that's worthless. Ain't no value to it. Ain't no value to that. A lot of people. Listen to me. There's a lot of people that don't see the value in what you're doing right now. It would surprise you as to how many people take for granted when these pages here open and people gather around and somebody expounds these Scriptures. They don't see no value in that. They think it's worthless. They think they can go and they can listen to somebody that's got a doctorate in psychology. They can listen to somebody that's got, you know, that's well learned on how to help people. They think that's a whole lot better, but I got news for you. I may be preaching on a burden for the body of Christ, and you may be in another situation, and the Holy Ghost will come in here and take my words and turn them all around and minister to your heart in a total different area. There's value in this book. There's value in this body. There's value in it. And I happen to wonder, as Joseph was got the boldness to do in this, as he's got this body thrown over his shoulder, as he's walking out through there, what was he thinking? What was he thinking, toting that body? I know he loved the Lord. I know he loved him. He was dear to him. But why would he be so concerned and care so much? Was it just an act of kindness? Do you think that? I think it was a little more than that. You want to know why real people want to be involved and want to be a part of the church? Because they see something in the future of that body. Wonder if he might have thought. Wonder if he might have remembered the Lord saying something about, I'll destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Wonder if he might be one of the only ones that got that. All the rest of them was, they were thinking, tear the temple down. How are you going to do that and build that back up in 3 days? It took them 7 years to build this. What if he really got it? And he was toting that body. He was saying, he may be dead now, but you give him just a little while. This body is coming back alive. I'll tote it. And you know what? Tonight, ain't a whole lot of folks here. And it's like that all over the land. But you know what it'd do good? It'd do good to throw everybody over your shoulder and say, I'll carry it. Because one of these days, it's getting up. One of these days, it's leaving here. Ain't you glad tonight that one of these days, listen now, I know how it is. We crawl in here. We're tired, weary, wore out, stressed out, everything in the books tore up. And we barely get in here. But we're making the best we can of it. We're trying to exalt Him and keep Him at the head. But one of these days, this body is going to regain the vitality. And the victory is going to be known. And we're going to leave out of here. And we're going to a better place. So I say, carry on. Get the body. Get this body over your shoulder. And go on for the glory of God. Pray one more time. Come to church one more time. Read your Bible one more time. Just keep on keeping on until He says, let's go home. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Ain't it good to be saved in that? Amen.